السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen, who receive us. As I mentioned last week, the theme in the month of Ramadan and in fact throughout the year is taqwa. Whichever way you look at it, from whichever angle a person may approach the subject, and whichever subject he may deal with, for a Muslim, the most important thing in his life is taqwa. Ramadan and fasting has got a very special effect. It makes it easy for the person to develop the taqwa that is required, the abstinence that is required from all kinds of haram. The month of Ramadan makes it very easy to acquire that. And the courage and the strength that is required to make amal on all the commands and orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the month of Ramadan makes it easy to practice on all those things. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through fasting or prescribing fast, He gives us an opportunity to suppress our animal instincts. Animal instincts cause havoc in the life of a person. Allah Ta'ala created those instincts and they are there and they have a purpose. And it is through these same instincts that a person can become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. Through these same instincts that are there, the animal qualities, the desire to eat, the desire to drink, the desire to marry. Now all these things are there, they are animal instincts and they are in man. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has placed it Himself. So either the person gets close to Allah Ta'ala or he distances himself because of these same animal instincts. If he uses those passions in the way Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has ordered, then the same thing can get him close to Allah Ta'ala. The passion in man, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created. Now if he controls those passions, if he puts a rein over it, he puts a leash over it, he does not allow it to go without any kind of direction, then the same thing becomes a means of his closeness to Allah Ta'ala. By now, I don't know how many times I must have mentioned in my Jumu'ah Bayan, other Bayans, that there was one Wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who, addressing the limbs of his body, used to say that, "Oh, you eyes of mine, O you hands, O you feet, first to discipline you, I made so much of effort. So first to discipline, that the eyes do not see that which Allah Ta'ala is unhappy with its seeing, and the ears do not listen to that which Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, and the tongue does not engage in swearing and cursing and false oaths and qasams and false promises, and it does not engage in words of kufr and shirk." So the person makes an effort to discipline it. And when it is disciplined, then he says, or he addresses the same parts of the body. And he says that, now, O feet, O my own feet, I feel like kissing you, because you became the means of my connection with my Allah. Those same feet took him to the masjid. Those same feet took him to the houses of the poor and the needy to assist them and help them. The same feet took him to so many good places, took him for Umrah, took him for Hajj, and took him to so many other places that Allah Ta'ala was pleased with. So he says, now because you became a means of this connection of mine with my Allah Ta'ala, therefore I feel like kissing you. And he says, oh, you eyes, if only I could have kissed you, I would have kissed you, because you became the means of this connection of mine with my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you saw that which was pleasing to Allah, you became disciplined. The same eyes became the means of looking at the Quran Sharif. The same eyes looked at the faces of the parents and got sawab of Hajj. The same eyes looked at the Kaabatullah Sharif. The same eyes looked at the Rauza Mubarak. The same eyes looked at the merchandise that was in his shop and sold it in a manner that was pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. He did not hide any kind of defect from those articles, because he saw with his own eyes there was a defect. What became the means of him seeing that defect? If he was a blind person, could he have seen that defect in that garment? The same eyes became the means of him seeing that defect. So now he says, oh, you eyes, you became the means of seeing that defect. So I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to deceive anybody. I'm going to make it known to the person that this is a defect in this garment or in this article. Then if the person wants to buy it as is, then that is his business. But the thing is, I am not going to deceive him. So the same eyes became the means of seeing so many things that were permissible, so many things that Allah Ta'ala was pleased with. So he said, if I could have kissed you, I would have kissed you, because you now became the means of this connection. So in this month of Ramadan, it becomes easy. It doesn't mean that this is the only month in which we must talk about taqwa and about piety and God consciousness, and for the 11 months of the year it is chutti. There is no such thing. I mentioned the other night, this audience is different, that's why whatever Allah Ta'ala puts in my mind, it could be repeat for someone, but for someone it could be something that will inspire him towards doing that which is right. So I mentioned that everybody is talking about demands. Everyone is saying there's demands. The laborers are making demand. The employees are making demands. The employers are making demands. The government is making demand. The children are saying our parents are demanding. And the parents are saying the children are becoming very demanding. The husbands are saying the wives are very demanding. And the wives are saying the husbands are very demanding. The citizens are saying that the government is demanding, and government is saying that the citizens are very demanding. So everybody is demanding some kind of a right. They think there is a right and we are demanding that right. Whether I fulfill the corresponding right or not, that I'm unconcerned about. I'm only worried about my right. But I don't see that the other also has a right over me. So I won't look at that. I will only look at what is my right, and I will demand. That is human nature, or that is the situation we are in today. Nevertheless, so I say everybody is demanding. So just as there is a demand from everybody. In the same way, this Ramadan fast has also got a demand. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He has also got a demand. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has got a demand. We are His ummatis. We are the slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this fasting has got a demand, that this is how the fast should be observed. Now unfortunately, we are sliding. Look at some years back, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years ago, look at our grandparents, how much of ihtimam they made, how much of concern they showed, how much they looked forward to the fasting in the month of Ramadan. And up till now, there are so many old people, even though the doctor is telling that old person that you must take medication, and Allah Himself has allowed you to forego the fast in Ramadan because you are extremely weak and sick, but they say, no, we are going to fast. Because they realize the importance of the month of Ramadan. Now, I'm not saying that that is right what they are doing, but the thing is that ihtimam of Ramadan. So this Ramadan fast also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who in the month of Ramadan, he does not give up speaking lies and acting upon lies, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of him giving up his food and drink. It doesn't benefit Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in any way. How will it benefit him? So to develop this taqwa in the month of Ramadan, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala took away for some period of time our desire to eat and drink. But look at what He gives in return, how much He gives in return. I discussed some part of it last week. But at the same time, something that is just coming very strongly again in the mind is that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru miyati shaheed. I mentioned this many times in the month of Ramadan, that the person who holds fast to my sunnat, to my way, in the time of mischief, corruption, fitna, fasad, which is so apparent today, whichever direction you look is nothing but fitnas, nothing but fasad, nothing but corruption. There doesn't seem to be any kind of God consciousness and God awareness. So at such a time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when the person will hold fast to my sunnat, then he will get the reward of 100 martyrs, 100 shaheed. So I say that most of us, we just take that sunnat to mean the sunnat of eating, drinking, miswak, which are very important sunnats. But we forget that there is a sunnat way of salat also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made Allahu Akbar, what kind of a salat did he make? Where were his gaze at that time? What was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam contemplating at that time? On what was his mind focused? How did he make his ruku? How did he make his sajda? Was it just like the salat that we make? As I call it, you go, I'm coming salat. Hit and run, tuja main aata hu. So there is a method, there is a way, and we have to learn that. You can't learn it in the 20 minute bayan of a Jumu'ah. So there is a method of salat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed. And then we have to make it like that. Of course, we won't be able to gain that same degree of perfection that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam salat had, but at least we will emulate. So now, which is the best time to practice on such kind of salat? Other days we say lunchtime, we have to rush back to work, we have to go and have lunch, we have to do this, we have to do that. Now which lunch are we having in the month of Ramadan? So we have a little extra time at Zuhr time, the person makes his sunnat properly, makes his farz properly. The imam will shorten the salat. The imam will look at the congregation. In the congregation, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. So he will look at the congregation. They are sick people, weak people, old people, young people, all kinds of people. So if he has to read Surah Baqarah, or he has to lengthen his sajdas and lengthen his qiraat and lengthen his rukus, then people will get into difficulty. But individually, the person must look at his capacity. That young person who can run all over the football ground from morning till evening, and that cricketer who can go round and round the ground all the time chasing one ball, and he doesn't get tired, or that person who can go to his business and be standing there the whole day, unconcerned what is happening at home or family or in the society, from 7 to 7, 7 days a week he is stuck there. So now that person can at least make salat, leading a little longer qiraat, or making better ruku, making better sajda. So the best time is the month of Ramadan. He will start getting into the practice of making it. And then when he will start getting the enjoyment of that kind of salat, then he will not leave it. The reason why we don't make salat like that is we haven't tasted the enjoyment of it. So there is a salat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made, which we know is more or less extinct nowadays. So at such a time, the person who will make an effort to make a good salat, he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Fasting, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of fast did he keep? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's fast, was he occupied in gossiping? Was he occupied in watching TVs and movies and Hollywood and Bollywood films in the month of Ramadan also? Was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam occupied in just reading newspapers and magazines and periodicals and everything else that comes out, as long as he occupies his time? Did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pass his time? We say passing time. The time, whether we like it or not, is going to pass. We can't hold time. Can anybody hold time? So we don't have to pass time. The time will pass. And we also will pass by. We also will In fact, when I was undergoing a bypass surgery, I recall just before going from here, I announced that I'm going for a bypass. But if I pass by, then at least come to the qabr someday and make some dua. So we are going to pass by. And the time is passing by too. So in the month of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a certain method of fasting. He used to occupy himself in ibadat, zikr, tilawat, jihad, whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was doing. But there was no question of wasting any kind of time in idle chit-chat, gossip and ghibat or any kind of thing that was displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. So why do we forget that sunnat? We talk about other sunnats. Is this not a sunnat also? It is a sunnat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kept fast in this manner. So now we won't get that degree of perfection, but at least if we try to emulate in all these actions, if we try to emulate, how many people when they become madly in love with some film actor or actress, they want to emulate, they want to follow that person's fashion, what kind of hairstyle he has, what kind of clothing he wears, what kind of shoes he wears. Sometimes he looks like a genuine clown in all those things that he's wearing. But the thing is that he wants to follow, he wants to be exactly like that. Because of that love that the person has developed in his heart for that film actor or actress. And we all know that the majority of these film actors and actresses, what is their lifestyle? Can we really make them role models? Those who engage in adultery, in fornication, in drinking, in gambling, in wine, women and drugs and everything else, and we say our role model, role model. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a certain way of fasting. And when we are going to emulate that or try to emulate it, then the person will get the reward of 100 martyrs. A reward of 100 martyrs, because it's time of fitna, time of fasad, time of corruption and mischief, a time when people have become negligent, they are unconcerned about deen. You talk to them about everything else, they are prepared to listen. And especially if you're talking about some investment which brings good returns, then even the person who is almost deaf, he too listens. He too overhears it. Why? Because there's an investment which will bring a return. So what about the investment that the person makes in Ramadan? That your nafil ibadat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases it to the sawab of a farz ibadat. Whereas farz, a person can only make one farz. The farz of zuhur, if a person has made, then it's finished. Now you cannot make 10 farz of zuhur. Then you can make nafil, you can make sunnat namazes, but not farz of zuhur. But Allah ta'ala increases the sawab of that to the farz. And the farz, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases it to 70 farz, as if that person made that one farz 70 times. Now, isn't that an investment? That is an investment. Again, I recall that once in Makkah Sharif, one Arab person was talking about his properties, his buildings, and how much this is worth and that is worth, and how much investment he's got here and investment there, and how many millions this is worth, and so I just listened to him, I lowered my head a little, and then I picked it up. So he said, Shaykh, you alright? I said, Alhamdulillah, I'm alright. He said, then what happened? I said, nothing happened. I was just checking my heart, that when you were giving all these big figures, did it have any effect on my heart? So Alhamdulillah, it didn't have any effect, but I make dua, Allah Ta'ala give you more, and give you the tawfiq of using it correctly. However, I too have made a lot of investment, and I'm just waiting for the returns. So then he got worried that this Maulana also seems to have come here for some investments. He said, where have you made your investment? I said, at the Mutaf, at the Multazam, in the Hatim, under the Mizab-e Rahmat, behind the Muqam-e Ibrahim, at the Safa and Marwa, in Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifah, when we went for Hajj. I said, that is our investment. Because 100,000 times return you get there. So we must look forward to these returns also. We don't say that you must not look forward to returns of this world. There's nothing wrong with it. If a person has got an investment, halal investment and halal return, there's nothing wrong. It is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam if the person does it properly. However, why don't we look forward to these investments also which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about? So the person who will fast like that fast, at least then, we know he's not going to get that degree of perfection. But at least for the month of Ramadan, he says that I am going to try and fast. The sunnat way of fasting. Keep my gaze under control, ears under control, tongue under control, my temper under control, my heart and mind under control. No matter what kind of attraction and distraction from the outside world, But the person realizes that some kinds of attractions are such that no traction in the world will help that person if he has to affect his iman. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his Hajj also, there was a sunnat way. So that on the day of Qiyamah, the person can say, Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. My beloved Allah, what else can I bring except my outward? Nothing. I don't have any ikhlas in the heart. I don't have that kind of yaqeen. I don't have that kind of tawakkul. I don't have that kind of zuhud and qanaat, satisfaction. I don't have that kind of sabr and shukr. Ya Allah, I only have an outward, zahir. But I tried to make my zahir like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I tried to fast like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I tried to make my salat like what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to make. I tried to make my hajj like what Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to make. I tried to conduct my business like what Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to conduct. So in other words, I was trying to emulate, Ya Allah, this is what I have brought. But because he is your mehboob, he is your beloved. So therefore I ask you to, Ya Allah, forgive me my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my sins. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala too will become pleased. And I have repeatedly said this and I will go on repeating that we must not believe that a person who comes close to Allah Ta'ala, the person who gets God consciousness, the person who gets piety and taqwa, then he becomes an abnormal person. He cannot live in society. He cannot enjoy the ni'mat and bounties that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to man. He will be a perfectly balanced, normal person. In fact, he will be the one who will be truly enjoying the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Because he is enjoying it with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala will put happiness into his heart. With those ni'mats, he will also get happiness. جس سے ہیں آپ خوش اس جہاں میں وہ شب و روز ہے گلستا میں. So that person will have gardens in his heart because he is using it in the way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. I have always stated that because we are living in a society where most of the people are abnormal, when there is a society in which most of the people living are abnormal, so then if there is a normal person in there, he will look like an abnormal person. The normal one will look abnormal. Now at a time when everybody is just Hollywood, Bollywood and music and drugs and drink and wine and women and fun and pleasure and entertainment and all kinds of haram in our homes and in our businesses and in our newspapers and everywhere. So now the person who is not engaging in these things, he looks like an abnormal person. Whereas he is the normal person. And we are talking about Muslims. We must not look at those who are disbelievers. It is Jannat on earth for them. It is always that our sight and gaze is going on those who are disbelievers. Look at them, how they are enjoying. Look at them, how they are dancing and how they are singing and how they are enjoying life without any restrictions. We shouldn't even think like that. We should make dua for them that Allah Ta'ala gives them also Iman, Islam. And they must also get a taste and enjoyment of obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a halawat in it. There is a sweetness in it. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have put sweetness into sugar cane, which has sweetened the milk and tea and biscuits and chocolates of billions of people around the world from the time they have discovered, and Allah ta'ala put that sweetness into cane, then cannot He put sweetness into the hearts? That sweetness will not be like the sweetness of sugar. That sweetness will have no words to describe. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said that when the fragrance of your muhabbat, O Allah, comes into my heart, then the vocabulary of the languages of the world fail to give me a description of that sweetness, of that fragrance that has come. Don't we want that sweetness? Don't we want peace and sukoon in our lives? What enjoyment is there in a life where there's nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems, because the person is engaging in sins. He cannot sleep because he's infatuated with his beloved illicit one. So his sleep is gone. His money is being wasted. His health is going, deteriorating. Now all these things are happening. What kind of enjoyment is that? What I was going to discuss and where it went, but nevertheless, I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and realizing that He is our Creator, He is our Khaliq, He is our Malik. And He dearly loves us. We are His creation. Which person likes to make something and break it? Make something and break it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to break. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. He wants to give us peace in this world and in the akhirat. Physical ailments, sicknesses, diseases, poverty, accidents, all these type of things will happen. And the person will feel physical pain. He may even be the one screams and shouts the loudest in pain. Or if he is poverty stricken, he will suffer. But still, at the same time, that person, if he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can take qasams upon qasams upon qasams. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, because of this connection with Him, will give him such kind of sukoon that the kings of the world don't know about it. And it's not difficult. So let us make up our mind. We have a few days of Ramadan left. And we don't even know if we've got a few days left. Which second we go, we don't know. So just for a few days, just stay away from everything that is haram, forbidden, sinful. We don't say stay awake whole night in ibadat, stay whole day in the masjid, stay whole night in the masjid, read Quran Sharif 24 hours. We're not saying that. All we're saying that at least during the month of Ramadan, develop that God consciousness. Stay away from all those things that are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. Many people have put on some kafan over their TVs in the month of Ramadan. They've put some chadar over the TVs, some kafan. But they haven't buried it as yet. Because they're going to resurrect it after Ramadan. They believe in the day of resurrection. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is suffering around the globe and the hardships of mankind. For if there was nothing wrong with it, then why cover the chadar in the month of Ramadan? That shows that that person's conscience also tells him that watching certain things on the TV is not right. Otherwise, why must he put the chadar in the month of Ramadan? Did we put a chadar over the Quran Sharif and put it away? Did we cover our children and put them away, put kafan from now? Did we cover our businesses with kafan? We didn't. Because we don't find anything wrong in that. You go to your business, you conduct your halal business, you go home, you see, look at your children, you talk to your wives. But it shows that the person at the back of his mind who's got a little bit of iman also, he realizes there's something wrong there. So that's a good sign. We appreciate that. But now take it one step further and bring sukoon into the life. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين